Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
Let me describe a number. 1 million. That's roughly how many physical qubits. Until very recently, the best research said you'd need to break RSA 2048 encryption with a quantum computer. 1 million. That number had a purpose. It was large enough that the practical timelines felt distant, years away, maybe decades. It made quantum cryptography threats feel theoretical, something to plan for eventually.
A comfortable number.
A comfortable number. On March 30th, 2026, two separate research groups, one from Caltech and a startup called Oratomic, one from Google Quantum AI, published papers that changed the numbers. Not the principles. The principles of quantum computing have been stable for 30 years. Shor's algorithm is what it is. Quantum error correction works the way it works. What changed is the overhead, the resource estimates, the count of how many physical qubits you actually need to break the cryptography that protects most of the value on the internet. Today we're going into both papers, the physics, the implications, and one genuinely unprecedented decision Google made about how to publish their results. Chapter 1, the Caltech paper. The paper is titled, Shor's algorithm is possible with as few as 10,000 reconfigurable atomic qubits. Lead authors Madeline Kane and Qian Shu, with John Preskill on the author list. Preskill coined the term quantum supremacy and has been one of the field's most careful voices for decades. The affiliation is Oratomic, a startup out of Caltech alongside Caltech itself, published March 30th, 2026.
10,000 qubits. What was the number before?
For elliptic curve cryptography, the kind that protects Bitcoin, Ethereum, TLS, SSH, and most of the internet, the prior state of the art was roughly 500,000 physical qubits, assuming a fast clock speed. For RSA 2048, the older benchmark, estimates were around 1 million. The Caltech paper cuts those numbers to approximately 10 to 26,000 physical qubits for elliptic curve attacks and 11 to 14,000 for RSA, depending on the architecture and acceptable runtime.
That's a reduction of roughly two orders of magnitude.
Two orders of magnitude. And the paper shows in a graph how qubit requirements have fallen over 20 years of research, five orders of magnitude total since 2004. The curve is not flattening. Every few years, a new technique or architectural insight cuts the number again. This is the latest cut.
What's the actual technique?
Three things working together. First, high-rate quantum error-correcting codes. Standard quantum computers use the surface code, which is highly local. Qubits only interact with their immediate neighbors. Surface codes require roughly 100 physical qubits to protect one logical qubit, a 30-to-1 or lower encoding rate. The Caltech paper uses what are called quantum low-density parity check codes, or QLDPC codes. These allow non-local connectivity. Qubits don't have to be neighbors to interact. With QLDPC codes, they achieve encoding rates of approximately 30%, meaning about 3 physical qubits per logical qubit rather than 100.
That alone is a factor of 30.
That alone is the biggest lever. And it only works if your hardware supports non-local connectivity. Surface codes are designed for planar chip architectures where qubits sit in a grid. QLDPC codes require the ability to move qubits around or connect arbitrary pairs. The hardware that can do that today is neutral atom systems, qubits encoded in individual atoms, held in optical tweezers, rearranged dynamically during computation using laser fields or Oratomic's hardware. That's not a coincidence.
The architecture enables the code, which enables the reduction.
Exactly. The second technique is improved logical instruction sets, specifically what they call Pauli product measurements, which allow more efficient gate operations at the logical level. And the third is circuit optimization, taking Shor's algorithm and compiling it much more efficiently for this specific architecture, reducing the circuit depth. Combine those three advances and you get to 11,000 qubits for a machine that could factor RSA 2048 in 1 to 2 days, and about 26,000 qubits for a machine that could break P256 elliptic curve cryptography in a few days.
A few days, not a few years.
At the scale they're describing, they're also careful to note that the current state of neutral atom hardware involves substantial remaining engineering challenges. Demonstrations of fault-tolerant operation exist on systems of hundreds of qubits. Arrays of 6,000 atomic qubits have been trapped, but not yet used for computation at that scale. Scaling from hundreds to 26,000 with the required fidelity is not a solved problem. But the theoretical analysis says it could work, and the experimental components have each individually been demonstrated. Chapter 2. The Google Paper. The second paper is from Google Quantum AI, lead authors Ryan Babush, Adam Zalkman, and Craig Gidney. Gidney is the person who, with Martin Eckero, produced the definitive prior resource estimates for breaking RSA with quantum computers. The paper is titled Securing Elliptic Curve Cryptocurrencies Against Quantum Vulnerabilities, Resource Estimates and Mitigations, published April 1st, 2026. Despite the date, it is not a joke.
What did they find?
On the algorithm side, they demonstrate that Shor's algorithm for the 256-bit elliptic curve discrete logarithm problem, specifically the SEC256K1 curve, which is what Bitcoin and many other cryptocurrencies use, can execute with fewer than 1,200 logical qubits and 90 million Toffoli gates, or alternatively 1,450 logical qubits and 70 million gates. On a superconducting architecture with surface code error correction, that translates to fewer than 500,000 physical qubits running in minutes.
Minutes!
Minutes. On a fast clock, superconducting architecture. That's important. The paper introduces a distinction that I think will become standard in this field. Fast clock versus slow clock quantum hardware. Superconducting systems like Google's Sycamore operate with gate times on the order of nanoseconds and error correction cycles measured in microseconds. Neutral atom systems and ion traps operate with gate times on the order of milliseconds, a factor of 1,000 slower. That difference matters enormously for certain types of attack.
Why?
Because of something the paper calls an on-spend attack. When you send a Bitcoin transaction, there's a window between when the transaction is broadcast to the network's mempool and when it's confirmed in a block, roughly 10 minutes on Bitcoin. During that window, your public key is visible. A quantum computer that can compute fast enough could, in theory, derive your private key from your public key during that window, sign a fraudulent transaction, redirecting the funds to the attacker's address, and get that fraudulent transaction confirmed before yours. Minutes on a superconducting architecture means this attack is potentially viable. Days on a neutral atom architecture means it isn't. You can't intercept a 10-minute transaction window with a multi-day computation.
But slow machines can still steal funds that are sitting still.
Correct. The paper distinguishes on-spend attacks from at-rest attacks. If your public key has been exposed because you've already used that address to send a previous transaction which reveals the public key, a slow quantum computer with days to work could potentially derive your private key and steal the funds even without any active transaction happening. An estimated 39% of all Bitcoin in circulation is protected by reused or publicly exposed keys. That's the at-rest exposure. Chapter 3. The zero-knowledge proof. The Google paper did something unprecedented in mathematics. They published a proof that their result exists without publishing the result itself. the actual quantum circuits that implement Shor's algorithm at this scale are not in the paper. Instead, Google compiled those circuits and then generated a zero-knowledge proof, a cryptographic attestation verified via a snark on the SP1 proof system that the circuits they claim to have built actually exist and satisfy the properties they claim.
Why? What are they protecting?
The paper is explicit. They believe quantum computing has reached a stage where it is prudent to stop publishing detailed cryptanalysis improvements. The circuits are attack vectors. If you publish the optimized circuits, you're giving a potential adversary a blueprint. By publishing the ZK proof instead, they achieve two things. They give enough information for the threat to be credible and for the cryptography community to take it seriously, while withholding the specific implementation details that would make it immediately exploitable by a well-resourced bad actor.
Has anyone done this before?
ZK proofs as a disclosure mechanism for security vulnerabilities have been proposed before, but not applied to a novel cryptographic result, only to previously known vulnerabilities as proofs of concept. This is the first time anyone has announced a new mathematical result primarily via a zero-knowledge proof withholding the underlying computation. Scott Aronson on his blog compared it to Frisch and Perls in 1940, calculating how much uranium-235 was needed for a chain reaction, but not publishing it. He noted that cryptographers he respects pushed back on that analogy. Their consensus is that you publish, and if it causes panic among people still using vulnerable systems, that's the correct outcome.
What's the actual policy prescription?
The paper is direct. Migrate to post-quantum cryptography. Now, NIST standardized 4 post-quantum algorithms in 2024. The transition for most internet infrastructure is already underway. The question is whether it happens fast enough. The Google paper identifies specific vulnerabilities across major blockchains in detail: Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, privacy chains, stablecoin infrastructure. For Ethereum, they identify 5 distinct vulnerability categories: accounts, admin keys, contract code, consensus, and data availability, and analyze each one. Proof of work in Bitcoin turns out to be quantum resistant because Grover's algorithm, the relevant quantum speedup, only provides a quadratic improvement, which isn't enough to overcome the mining difficulty adjustment mechanism. Proof of stake consensus in Ethereum has more exposure. Chapter 4: The Satoshi Coins. The Google paper spends considerable time on what they call dormant assets, cryptocurrency holdings with exposed public keys that belong to early adopters or have been lost. The most famous case is Satoshi Nakamoto's estimated 1 million Bitcoin sitting in addresses from 2009 and 2010, whose public keys are exposed. If a cryptographically relevant quantum computer is ever built, those coins are vulnerable. The paper discusses what they call digital salvage, the policy question of what to do about assets that would be trivially stolen in a post-quantum world.
The options are unpleasant.
All of them. Let the coins sit and eventually be stolen by whoever builds the first capable quantum computer, which could be a nation-state. Burn the coins by moving them to provably unspendable addresses before that happens. Create a migration deadline after which old format coins can be seized. The paper concludes that regulated destruction isn't viable policy, that digital salvage frameworks are worth exploring, and that this is ultimately a national security question as much as a cryptographic one. Whoever builds the first cryptographically relevant quantum computer could selectively drain exposed addresses in ways that would be destabilizing to financial systems.
And Bitcoin Cash moves fast enough to be particularly exposed to on-spend attacks.
The paper singles out Bitcoin Cash specifically because its shorter block time, 10 minutes is already tight for Bitcoin. Bitcoin Cash has variants with shorter confirmation windows, more exposed, less time to react. The synthesis: Scott Aronson, in his blog post about these two papers, wrote, "Neither of these results change the basic principles of QC that we've known for decades, but they do change the numbers." That sentence is exactly right, and it's the correct frame. We are not at quantum supremacy over RSA today. The neutral atom architecture that the Caltech paper describes does not yet exist at the required scale. the circuits that Google proved exist via ZK proof have not been run on actual hardware. These are theoretical resource estimates, extremely careful ones, by the most credible people in the field, but estimates.
But the trajectory is clear.
The trajectory has been clear for a decade. What's new is the timeline compression. Every year the numbers come down. The qubit count that once seemed impossible becomes merely difficult. The window between theoretical and practical keeps shrinking. The Caltech paper puts P256 breaks in reach of a 26,000 qubit machine operating for a few days. Neutral atom systems are scaling. The engineering challenges are real, but not mysterious. They're known problems with known approaches.
The NIST post-quantum standards are already published.
Since 2024. The transition is happening. TLS, SSH, operating system updates, electronic passports, many of these are already moving. The question for cryptocurrencies is harder because you can't just push a software update to a blockchain. Changing the signature scheme requires consensus across every participant in the network, which for Bitcoin means achieving something close to universal agreement among a decentralized community with strong ideological commitments to ossification.
The people most resistant to change are the ones most exposed.
That is the paper's implicit conclusion, rendered explicitly. Two papers, 30 years after Shor wrote his algorithm, finally making the case that the clock is measurable. Not in decades in the time it takes to build 26,000 well-controlled neutral atom qubits and run them for a few days. We don't know exactly when that will be, but both research groups know the number now, and the number fits in five digits.
Dispatches from the edge.
Dispatches from the edge.
This podcast is entirely AI-generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS, that's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow. Wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.